Hi, welcome to Game of Thrones Weekly. I'm Dave Child. I'm here with Nate Miller. We're going to be talking about monsters because it's October and I want a spooky episode. So let's talk about Game of Thrones monsters. Welcome.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I wanted to take a break away from the Game of Thrones theme. A little monster mash. Yeah. Nate, how are you doing?
It's a classic. I'm doing good, man. It's good to see you.
It's good to see
you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing the monster mash.
You are doing the monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
You don't say.
Got on with a flash.
Did it?
Oh, man. Okay. All right, we can bring this down.
Yeah.
Now it's getting super distracting.
Yeah, we did it.
By the way, look up him performing this on American Bandstand, because it's just him and his face and doing weird faces the entire time. It's beautiful
really?
To watch.
I've never seen that. Watch.
Anyways, I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MR Dave Child. I'm here with my guest co-host, Nate Miller.
What's going on, guys? Nate Miller here. You can find me on all social media at Dog Like Nate.
Yeah, he was so great talking with me for like an hour about swords.
That was so fun.
So I'm like, why not? I just bring it back to talk about monsters.
Let's do it, man.
And I know, listen, I know Kristen had an episode where she got to talk about all the spooky doings that happen on Game of Thrones.
This is different.
But this is different.
It's completely different.
This is diving into the monsters of Game of Thrones, who they are, what they do, what you know, where they come from, maybe. Background stories. So I'm excited about that. But before we go to the monsters, I want to start off with a little bit of Game of Thrones news. So first bit of intro is, I guess our Sansa is getting married in real life, which to Joe Jonas. So that's happening. That just was announced today. I don't know. Are you a big Jonas Brothers fan?
No.
No?
I can't say that I am. I mean, no.
I just hope the wedding goes well.
Me too.
You know, it's a bad weddings and Game of Thrones.
What I'm going to say is it's nice to see that she's marrying someone who's not on the show.
Yes. Yeah, although it'll be weird because we often get, because we have Jon Snow marrying Ygritte.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not saying the actor's actual names, but Kit Harington. Uh-huh. And I'm blanking
nope.
on Ygritte's name.
I'm okay. not even going to try.
So, but they're getting married, but that's like a classic love story. But with Sansa, and she doesn't really have like love story characters that would be feel very comfortable marrying. It's not like, oh, it turns out she really did love Joffrey, and they're getting married.
Or the guy who plays Peter Baelish.
That would be terrible.
Real quick, if I could just point the audience to the screen, they actually revealed, Kevin Jonas revealed it through Instagram, and here's a picture of
wow.
that.
Wow. That's a very, thank you, Anthony, in the booth,
no problem.
Helping us out. That's actually a very Game of Thrones-y type picture.
He's trying to get on the show.
Oh, he's on the
show.
He's
like, there's one season left.
He's on the show. He's there. Oh, Joe Jonas is trying to
get
on. It's a new Game of Thrones filter on Instagram.
Oh, is it?
No, I'm kidding. it looks very Game of Thrones-y, though.
It looks very Game of Thrones.
Underlit shades of blue.
Yeah, underlit shades of blue. That's the tone for the wedding. Underlit shades of blue.
I mean, if they do the wedding in some snowy place with a bunch of furs on, I would...
No, man.
I'd be super down for
that'll
that.
That'll be too much like her actual marriage
job, I know.
To
that
Ramsay.
Yeah.
It'll be like... That'll be
I mean,
so
she'll think about... She'll be thinking about the check she got for your shooting.
She should go to a beach. She should go to, like, the exact
the polar
opposite. Yeah. Nowhere right. near Game of Thrones.
Let's do a vote. Hashtag... snow winter wedding.
Winter wedding.
Hashtag beach wedding.
Yeah.
You know? She could do the Dothraki thing. They ride out on horses.
Yeah, do the Dothraki.
Yeah.
That'll be very different from
she
her.
She hasn't experienced it.
Yeah. 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 We also have another bit of Game of Thrones news, and this one's a weird one. This one came out yesterday, it looks like. Or on the 13th, Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
It's the Associated Press, so it looks legit.
This is a real thing.
But is that how you say his name? Coster Waldo. I only know people by their character's name. Jaime Lannister has come out to say that they're so worried about this next season of leaking and pirating that they're actually not going to get the scripts that they're actually going to be told the dialogue as they have to say it into earpieces. That just, I can't believe that's true. I just can't. I know it's Associated Press and it's straight out of the mouth of a Lannister, but I just feel like he's trolling us. That's what I feel like. I mean,
like I said to you earlier, from a practical standpoint, the way I see it working is them waiting up until the day of shooting and like either in a rehearsal space or even in the place when they do their blocking rehearsal.
Yeah,
that's the first time they're hearing their lines, and they practice their line. They do it 1, 2, 3, 4 times, and then they go shoot it. And then that way they can get it done without them having to have the scripts to be leaked.
That's true, but it's weird that there's no. I think they're.
I mean,
by...
I guess if you think about how much more this is going to cost them to get things done, somewhere some accountant did the math versus like how much money they lose when those type of things leak, and they thought that this was.
I'm also more wondering
valuable.
How is this getting past the egos of the actors? Just because if you're like this far into a season,
but
you're going to want to see the scripts beforehand to. To get ready with the scripts in order to perform accurately.
I don't know with a show like this if the actors have that much power.
I guess, but I feel like at least Dinklage is getting that script beforehand. I feel like there's at least a few of the actors know what's
coming. Well, like
coming.
I said too, you know, Conspiracy Nate thinks that there is scripts and that this is part of the HBO misdirect so that the hackers don't look for the scripts. They're like, oh, there's no, we shouldn't bother hacking them because there's no scripts to be there. Oh, well.
Stupid hackers.
Well, right? Gotcha.
Gotcha,
HBO,
actors.
We know computers. But, yeah. You know, that's also...
Also, the scripts still exist. This just, like, diminishes the scripts a little bit. But I guess it's a huge cast.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you break it down so that only the production has what they need to make things and, you know, and all the dialogue's cut out.
What if they say, you know what, because of the script leaks, we're just going to have it be improv. Just the whole thing. We're just going to do Curb Your Enthusiasm. There's only going to be an outline. And the rest of it's just going to make it up as we go along. Perfect. Perfect new Game of Thrones season.
It'd be like the last season of Scrubs.
It'll be like
they'll
throw
like it didn't happen.
It'll be like in The Office when Michael Scott always pulls out a gun when they're doing improv. They're always going to throw to a dragon.
Or it's just going to take them forever, and they're going to delay it like 2 years. It's going to be like they're going to wait for.
Well, they're shooting
GR.
Now.
They're going to wait for. I mean, so
it's going to take them a while, but they're shooting now.
I mean, it's going to take them a while plus post because. This is the most, these last two seasons, and especially this last one, hands down, it's going to be the most post-intensive between all the dragons, all the White Walkers and all that stuff, all the war and combat that we're bound to see. Lots of big sweeping aerial shots because you were going to need to see big open spaces so we can understand, you know, when territory is changing hands and people are moving and things of that nature. So I imagine... It's gonna be a while before we get this. I think it may get delayed, especially if they are serious about this.
That might be true. And they're also I also heard that they're gonna do a few different endings to kind of fight the pirating to see who knows what type. That'll also make it so the DVD will be more gettable. I think that's really why they're doing it, because you want to see all the different endings. And choose your favorite one.
Yeah, and I think also that's how they get away from the fan outrage of like, all right, now we're done. And everyone's like, what do you mean you're done? You know, all the book people who either are missing certain things, they don't like how things play out, or, you know, there's just a lot of things that come when you end a series, especially a series that is still kind of open-ended with, like, the original one.
Yeah.
Like, this is all kind of speculation, so
well,
this kind of
also...
lets them be like, well, you know, it could be this ending, too. It could be this one.
And there's also going to be the spinoffs and the prequels and all that stuff that's coming down the pike.
I hope it's just prequels and no spinoffs.
I mean, I think that's what they mean by the spinoffs. I think it is just going to be prequels, which actually, in this case, I think would be actually good.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to get a Dunkin' Egg. I'd like to get, like, a...
Young Griff.
Yeah. All that stuff will be kind of cool.
Aegon the Conqueror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, young Aegon. Okay, so let's get into monsters.
We're
going to monster mash it up. First off, I want to kind of call out the honorary monsters. The people that are... We all know that the worst monsters on the show are humans. Are Joffrey and Ramsay. I think they're... kind of our honorary monsters here, and I don't want to spend too much time on them because we know that they're monsters. We know what they do. We know that Ramsay has a pack of dogs that he sets out, and that's how he got killed. We know that Joffrey loves his bow and arrow. He loves his crossbow, and that's kind of, you know, and his purple ending, like, ending. So all of that stuff is kind of known. Those are the exes of Sansa. Let's hope that Joe Jonas is a lot better than those two.
I think so.
I hope so.
I hope so. I think she would have learned.
Yeah, from the show at least.
To spot the signs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely embody the psycho killer, psychopath.
Yeah, can we get up a good picture of Joe Jonas?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That looks pretty.
Yeah, that's probably not the picture to use.
That's probably the scariest picture of him you could possibly find. When we're saying, is he a serial killer? All of these look scary.
Yeah, this is really not.
Look at those dead eyes.
This is not really. Maybe she's found something that she likes from.
Maybe she likes monsters. No, yeah. I don't think so. But I don't think so.
Onto the real monsters, supernatural monsters.
Onto the real monsters. I want to talk about my.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. I think the most monstery of monsters that the show has encountered is the shadow monster that is used to kill Renly and Melisandre.
The shadow baby.
All the shadow babies. Shadow baby is like too cute of a word. I know that's like what all the reviewers and everyone kept referring to it as, but
I think it's just like a literal, like, she got pregnant with a baby when she gave birth, the shadow thing came out. So yeah. I mean, I think that's
it's a shadow
not
baby.
Like a, it's not like a small size shadow that like needs to be cared for and like doesn't know what to do.
It's not a baby,
right? But
she birthed a full grown demon. Yeah. You know,
I mean, I guess they mature really quickly.
Yeah. It is funny to look at the stats of the shadow monster on the Game of Thrones Wikipedia on Wiki, because it says they have a very short lifespan. they age very quickly from a very from a young age to like full adulthood.
Does it really say that?
In seconds. Yeah, it says it. It lists all the like abilities. I do want to talk about the abilities of each one of these monsters and kind of what the stats, the kind of Dungeons and Dragons stats of each of the monsters.
You know what this shadow baby reminded me of? Kind of like the Meeseeks in Rick and Morty.
That's really dark.
I'm gonna do this one task for you and then I'm gonna disappear.
Hey, I'm a shadow baby. Hi, look at me. Yeah, perfect. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. Yeah, because you bring out the shadow in order to get one thing accomplished, and then the shadow's
gone.
But
it's also like blood magic, right?
It's blood magic. Yeah. I think it's the abilities of the shadow baby are it can move through the shadows, of course. It can kind of go through bars. It can go probably under doors. It kind of moves as smoke through different things, and it can create blades with its own hands because it kills Renly with its own shadow.
I think it's kind of interesting that you classify it as a monster because...
Is it not a monster?
I mean, and to me...
I feel like a lot of this episode is going to be talking about what is a monster and what isn't a monster.
Well, no, with this one specifically, I didn't... When you said, like, oh, you mentioned this as one of the monsters we're going to talk about, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, that's an interesting way to look at it, because for me, I just thought of it as, like, she's a witch.
A spell.
It's just a spell that she used some blood magic, she got royal blood, made the baby, and, like, that was all part of a ritual spell or whatever that's what the effect of the spell is it spits out this shadow thing that goes and kills him. Because, I mean, it just disappears after.
True, but in the kind of fantasy world, one big aspect of witches that cast spells are really summoning demons, which I think are all monsters.
Yeah.
So I think this is her summoning a monster using the Lord of Light and using Stannis' royal blood
to bring it into kind of realm or something.
Yeah. So and because it's separate from her and has its own abilities, I think it's
get a classification of
I think that's why it's more of the monster classification.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because it's something you set upon the world, and then it's kind of off. But in the books, it should be noted that there's actually two shadow babies that she uses against Stannis, and it kind of drains Stannis. It's used during the Battle of Blackwater as well. There's another shadow baby's used there. But because it drains Stannis so much, she stops using them because you see There's comments that Stannis looks like he's 10 years older after it's used. It's really taking the life force from Stannis and using that. Okay, so, by the way, I'm not classifying Melisandre or the warlocks of the Undying, of the Tower. Ooh, what's the name of that?
House of the Undying.
House of the Undying. Because I don't see them as monsters exactly. I see them more as...
just practitioners.
As, yeah, practitioners, witches, and warlocks are on a different kind of plane than monsters. They have to kind of transform in order to become monsters. Do you not agree with that?
I put Melisandre in there.
Because she's, like, secretly super old and...
yeah, and she directly causes the death of characters. She brings Jon Snow back to life. Yeah, she's actually super old. She has a constant glamour up. Like, hey... no, I don't think all witches are necessarily a monster, but I think she could fit the category between Witch Lives Matter.
Yeah.
I think because of the things we've seen, what she's willing to do, you know, burning the child and stuff, and the glamour thing, I think I would put her
maybe as a monster as much as, maybe not as much as Joffrey and Ramsay, but kind of more.
Put her even more because she's doing more, like, they're bad because they're doing what they're doing still as humans, though. You know, they're just making these choices to do these bad things, where she has made a choice beyond what a normal human does. It's stepped into the supernatural in order to influence certain things and do and live for as long as she have.
I guess that's true. I guess maybe one category of monsters we could talk about are the witches and the warlocks.
She doesn't... it's not like when we see her do those sacrifices and stuff that she, like, hesitates. Like, this is the first time that she's actually done it. She's, like, read about it. Like,
right.
Who knows how many children she's burned? Who knows how many shadow babies she's birthed, the 50, 100, 200 years that she's been around? We really have no idea. So
okay, so let's include her on the list, as well as the people
you got away.
Oh, you're on the monster list. Watch out, you're jumped on. And so are the warlocks from the House of the Undying, because they're also people that have transformed their bodies and are kind of outside of the spiritual realm as normal humans.
And especially the way that the people around talk about the House of the Undying and stuff, I would definitely put them in the monster category.
Cool. More other monsters. There they are. Yeah, those are monsters. How did I not think those are monsters? Yeah, those are definitely monsters. Okay, but moving on to probably the cuddliest of the monsters sometimes. Let's talk about the direwolves, because I think we can categorize direwolves as monsters, even though they're just giant wolves.
Yeah, I mean, we just happen to see them from the perspective of a group of humans who are more often than not friendly with them. Yeah. But if you're from the South, 100% you're terrified.
Yeah, you're going to be terrified of
them. They're massive. They're like the size of ponies with even bigger heads.
Right. And they're also, like, in the books, I think they're... I think the inspiration for the direwolves probably came from a lot of stories of witches' familiars and animal familiars, and also skinwalkers and skin changers. Because in the books, they have a direct psychic link to the rest of the Stark family, not just Bran, which they kind of simplified in the show. Mm-hmm. But you have Jon Snow actually going into Ghost's eyes in order to kind of track where the wildlings and the White Walkers are. Mm-hmm. So they're used much like a witch uses their familiar, and they're also giant, they're big, and I think a lot of people. They come from stories of werewolves, too, because of the giant beasts and monsters and wolf monsters that have come from the past. A little side note, I just found out that Lafayette, the historical figure Lafayette, when he was a teenager, he's famous for hunting and tracking a giant wolf-type creature that's not described as a wolf, which I think for sure means that a werewolf fought in the American Revolution. I just want to say, because if there's a story about you tracking a giant monster wolf down, it means you got bit and you turned into a werewolf. Do you believe me or not, Nate?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay. I just want to check the Lafayette bloodline. There probably are werewolves. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, but they are, and they're coming after you now.
Right. But these are the closest we actually get to werewolves, are these the direwolves. And, of course, let's go down the list of who they are. There's Summer, Shaggy Dog, Grey Wind, but the only ones that remain right now are Ghost and Nymeria, who is... I love Nymeria. Because, yeah, there we go. If you cut to that, you see how they... That's a nice little, like, fan drawing someone did of how they link to their Starks there. But Nymeria is still, like, out and kind of in the wilds of Westeros and gaining a whole pack of wolves under her, which I really think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy when we came back to her. Because in the books, we're not even at seeing her exactly. We just hear rumors about her in the woods. So it was great to actually see her in the show. Speaking of giant and lovable, let's move on to the giants, which are north of the wall. And are but the one we got to really know is 1-1. Do you remember 1-1?
Yeah.
He was a good guy.
He was. R.I.P.
Yeah, killed at the Battle of the Bastards. So the giants, I think we could say they're big, they're hard to kill, they're super strong, and one cool thing that they do is they sometimes ride mammoths, and they herd mammoths like cattle. Mammoths, I guess we can say, are kind of monsters, but because those used to exist, they don't quite kind of categorize those as monsters, but they're in there. And do you know, one thing when I was researching the giants, I like the idea of where the myth of giants have come from. There's always been a myth of giants in the past that people have fought. There's the frost giants.
Yeah, well, giants are a classic fantasy, you know,
yeah.
Entity that you would encounter, you know, in that's, you know, you have the giants,
you got the Jack and the Beanstalk,
then you get elves and yeah. Dwarves and things of that nature, and then as you get further in, you get orcs and things of, you know, that get more fantastical.
Yeah.
But even in light fantasy, you often will get giants because in the past, you know, as we tried to explain things we didn't understand, sometimes people were really tall. And
yeah.
Some people were like, wow, that guy's a giant.
And I think you can also probably look at the bones of Neanderthals, and maybe people are thinking that because they have giant heads,
mm-hmm.
that they could come from giant bodies. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think the belief that maybe giants came from. And there's some people that are really big. There's also the David and Goliath story
mm-hmm.
back in biblical, you know, mythology. So it touches upon giants all over the place.
Yeah. Some people believe that the giants come from some of the fallen angels that mated with humans,
true.
Which created seraphim, and that Goliath was actually one of the seraphim, and that's
yeah.
why you get this race of people that are, you know, they slowly got smaller. As their gene pool.
That also explains a lot of
theoretically,
like after paradise, where a lot more people on Earth came from, where like.
Mm-hmm.
Because they came from the giants that were outside of paradise.
Right.
So when I was researching giants in the Game of Thrones world, one thing that I was reminded of that I totally forgot about is how Tormund Giantsbane got his name. Do you remember this?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so I don't know if they've actually touched upon this in the show, and correct me if I'm wrong if they have touched upon this, but what actually happened with Tormund Giantsbane is he had a very Star Wars moment one day in the wild where he needed warmth and he saw a sleeping female giant. So he cut open the sleeping female giant and crawled inside of her. And then when another giant found him, mistook Tormund Giantsbane as a baby of the giant and started taking care of Tormund. In the books he says that he suckled on the giantess's teat for up to 3 moons, so 3 months of a giantess mistaking him for a baby, and then till he finally escaped. And so when they asked him why are you Giant's Bane instead, and he said, well, it sounded better than Giant's Baby or Giant's Babe, and that's the story from the book that he tells, I think, John or someone when they're kind of out in the wild. And that's where he gets his name
that's
from.
Hilarious.
I guess he did kill a giant because he crawled inside of one, but I just kind of love that little side story to do with the giants. All right. Now I want to talk about one aspect I kind of forgot to put in my list, but I'm just thinking about now, that I think we should also talk about are the Stone Men. Because I think they could be... Do you think they classify as monsters themselves? Do you remember who the snowman? Okay, so the people that get the touch.
The grayscale.
The grayscale.
Oh.
Because
I don't know. I guess.
I think they do, because to me they kind of run off as, they kind of have a 30 days later kind of rage monster thing going on with them. Because for one, they have skin that's as hard as stone. It's really hard to penetrate. And also they go insane. They go crazy and they're put into their own world. That picture that you found just looks like a delightful muddy man, but not as really a monster. Must be from an interview with that actor, like behind the scenes. But I think they classify, and I think that's one thing Jorah was trying to fight against, was turning into a monster himself.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing them as monsters, I think, only helps the cause. Even though I think you could look at someone who has leprosy as not a monster.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a little different. Yeah, it definitely gives off some leprosy vibes, but to a much, much greater extreme.
You also lose your mind in this case, right. And you don't you lose necessarily, sense of who you are. Yeah, with leprosy. So this is more of a mystical monster turning disease that plagues Westeros and the surrounding countries. All right, but let's talk about monsters we love to love. Let's talk about the dragons. I love the dragons. So there's three dragons in Game of Thrones. There's Drogon, named after Drogo. Rhaegal, which is named after Rhaegar, which is interesting. And I'm going to not say his name right, but Viserion. That's, I think, it. Viserion, who's named after Viserys, which I totally forgot he was named after Viserys until I was researching this.
Well,
and, of course, he turns evil. He's named after Viserys. He's named after the terrible brother of Daenerys.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, if you look at it this way, just to talk a little bit about plot wise, because Viserion is the one who was the Night King through his lance and turned him later after he perished and became the only white dragon that we know of. The white is an undead dragon and seems to have the ability to have blue flames, not ice. A lot of people were speculating that he might come out with ice powers and have an ice blast, but I think it's good that he has blue flames because that's what really did a number on the wall.
Well, I think also it's blue flames because dragons breathe fire, and he's still going to breathe fire because
right.
That's what he does. He's just, it's not red fire because he's not alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the life force is gone. His body is inhabited by the Night King's force or whatever. And that is blue. That's why the eyes are blue and all that stuff. So it makes sense for the fire when it comes out to be blue. It's still fire. His organs still spit fire because he's dragon.
But yeah. And one thing
definitely
that's
the scariest one now.
He's super scary, but he also has that thing that sometimes happens with undead creatures where they always have holes in their wings, and it always makes you go, how are you flying? How are you flying with holes in your wings? But, you know, magic.
Yeah, he doesn't have that many.
He has enough to make it like, oh, he's dead now. Yeah. He has that, like, when you have wings and then you die and you come back as an undead thing, you have to have a certain, you have a quota of holes that have to be in your wings.
It's got to be magic, I guess, because, I mean, I don't know. I'm biased. I'm a World of Warcraft player. We've got Sindragosa and, like, literally just bone wings with no skin in between.
Yeah.
Which, logically, there's no way I'd be able to fly. But I'm like, yeah, but it looks great.
It looks great. Cool. Let's do it.
It looks cool.
Magic. But it's interesting, if you look at the names, because one of the things that's very clear in the books that they don't really touch upon in the show that much is that each dragon is kind of destined to have a rider. That dragons require riders, so you know that they're going to get paired off.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that's Drogon is paired to Daenerys. I think they have a deep connection, and I don't think we want to see Drogon go to anyone else. And now Viserion is paired to the Night King. And it's interesting that he's named after a terrible dude, and now he is a terrible dude, the dragon himself. Which begs a question of Rhaegal, who's the remaining dragon, who doesn't have a rider, and he's named after Rhaegar, who we now know is the father of Jon Snow. Not even the bastard father. Is that what you call him? The illegitimate father. It's a legitimate father of Jon Snow. So if it's looking for a rider, I think Jon Snow is the perfect one. And then he'll have two monsters at his side. Because he'll have the dragon, and he'll have Ghost.
I don't know if he can use them at the same time, though.
I don't know. I'd love to see Ghost riding it, like, on the tip of the dragon.
Dragon lands, and Ghost jumps off.
It'll be like those YouTube videos where it's like, unlikely friends across the species. Ghost and Rickon.
I would pay money for that.
Yeah.
Just to see Ghost sitting on top of the dragon.
Yeah, you know, just a cute little family. That's like the happy ending we know we're not going to get in Game of Thrones.
One of this eight.
He's got the dragons in the yard. He's holding a baby and, like, Ghost by his side. And Daenerys right there. And they're all, like, happy in front of a castle. That's not going to happen. That can't be the way the show ends.
Nope.
But that's what we want. But, yeah, so abilities of the dragons in general. They're fire breathing, flight, tough as hell, big as hell, hard to kill, but not invulnerable, and they bond with their riders, so they tend to have a bond. The origins of the dragons in this one come more from, like, the European myths. They seem more like European dragons rather than the Chinese dragons or on that side, the Eastern dragons. And I love how universal the myth of a dragon is. They came from the Greeks, they came from the Nordish, they came from, like, Vikings were always fighting dragons as well as Chinese and Japanese myths too. And it comes from probably, like, dinosaur bones that people have found, and they assume that these giant lizards once ruled the earth and were these mythical creatures. So it's great to see them come out.
There's also a lot of different types of dragons that you see, mm-hmm. and it's not really a traditional Western dragon, because a lot of the traditional Western dragons are four-legged with just wings on the back.
True.
It's kind of a hybrid, which I like that they've done that, because this is one of the more, like, anthropologically correct for how the flight and stuff would work, mm-hmm. to have the kind of forearms be as, like, part of the wings.
Yeah, more of a bat dragon.
Yeah, I think it looks great when it flies, looks great when it lands, so I'm glad that they went that direction instead of...
not a smog.
Yeah, because imagining that in CG, especially with the writing and a lot of the scenes that they've done, I don't think it would have looked really as good.
Yeah, and dragons have a lot of different... they have a lot of different history where there's a lot of dragons that are used to kind of watch over burial mounds and also treasures, and they're incorporated with greed a lot of the times. But these are used as a symbol of power, and I think as a symbol of might. And you can kind of do a direct link to kind of nuclear weapons nowadays or weapons nowadays. So yeah. I really like the use of dragons in Game of Thrones.
They're the, you know, they're the machine guns when everyone else is using swords.
Right.
You know.
And they do a hell of a job against the whites, which we're going to talk about now. Or waits?
Whites.
Okay, it's whites.
Yes.
And they're the undead from the north. They're the zombies that some people might refer to them, because we kind of know zombies more and we have a lot of zombies mythology. But they're a little different because they're not... Zombies come with a headshot. You think of the Romero rules, headshot to the brain, and the zombie's dead. The whites, they need to be killed only with fire or dragon glass. Those are the only two things that can kill it. And they'll also exist, all of their parts of their body could exist on their own outside of their body. So if you chop up a white, its hand can go crawling. There's that great scene in the last season where they unleash a white.
Mm-hmm. Out of the case.
Yeah, out of the case, and you get to really see what their abilities are and how to defeat them, and how Dragonglass can actually defeat them, because that's something I don't think we've seen too much of, is actually Dragonglass defeating a mm-hmm. white. We've seen it defeat the White Walkers, but not the white itself.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Walkers are just souped-up whites,
yeah.
Really. The whites are really just byproducts of the walkers. So the whites are kind of like the traditional animated skeleton that, like, a necromancer would summon.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a zombie, because, like you said, it's not like a disease or a plague or something that brings it back and it is operating from the brain and you have to stop the brain to stop it. It's mm-hmm. it's a animated, you know, undead thing that's being controlled by some other force. So take the head off, the body's still going to come at you. You know, cut the legs off, and the torso is still going to crawl its way in your direction.
Yeah,
it's a magic thing. It's not like the muscles. It's not the thing coming back to life. It's like, you know, it could be just bones.
It could be bones. Yeah, you're still going to have like a skeleton coming at you.
Right.
And when I was looking up like maybe where the origin of the wights from this come from. If you played Skyrim, I'm sure you've heard this word, the Daugrs, or Daugrs, D-A-U-G-R, and they're Icelandic and Nordish undead figures that come back from the dead and wreak havoc. So they're what you defeat in all of the Skyrim, like, tombs and dungeons. And they're a lot like these guys, because they just come back from the dead, and they're mystically animated.
Yeah, and the other thing that's notable, too, is... in line with those traditional undead figures is, you know, you don't see a zombie using weapons, and the wights will use swords, they will use shields, they will use axes, they will fight you, they will open a door, you know.
They have some intelligence.
Yeah, they're not smart, but they're living, they're, you know, aware of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just pure animal.
Except for some reason they can't swim.
Or were they waiting because they knew the dragon was coming?
Sure.
And it was all part of the plan.
Is that eternal discussion about whether they were waiting or not?
Let's go right into the walkers, because the wights are just a byproduct of the walkers.
Yeah, the white walkers are next, and they're the souped-up wights, but they also have their own abilities, because they're smarter than the wights.
Well, they create the wights. Mm-hmm. They create the wights. They control... The wights are like... It's almost like a hive mind mentality of where... whatever they infect, they create their wights.
Yeah.
They can see through them. They can, you know, they can tell they them what see to through do. Them? I may be speculating, but I think so. Maybe not directly, but I definitely feel that they are in communication, and they can be like, hey, this is what I'm seeing in some sort of way. I feel like I've gotten that impression. That they have that kind of a hive mind, what one thing is aware of, the rest of them.
And it seems they are the brain if the rest of the body is a zombie, because once you destroy one, the rest of them just crumble.
Right.
And they remind me a lot of the liches, which are from Dungeons & Dragons, mm-hmm. or fantasy novels. Yeah. You see in Adventure Time even, there's a lich.
Yeah. Well, the main villain for World of Warcraft... has kind of always been, or at least the first main one was the Lich King, which is the idea is this Death Knight that kind of turned evil and got possessed by this power that's even older than him, that's just using him to create undead and bring winter, because undead like to hang out in winter, I guess, because things die in winter.
Exactly, and that sounds very Game of Thrones.
Just kind of take over the world and just kill things.
Well, World of Warcraft, do you think that was inspired by Game of Thrones? It must have been. That sounds very Game of Thrones-y.
Yeah. In some regards, there's a lot more to it, because that's just one aspect. There's also elves, and there's also outside like aliens that came and things of that nature. There's a lot of stuff going on there, but they're definitely inspired by a lot of different fantasy novels and games, and they wear their influences on their sleeves too. They're really good about that.
Interesting. I know that. One thing that about the walkers, too, is that they're actually an extension themselves of the Night King, because we know from what happens at Craster's Keep that the Night King can create a walker by taking a baby and turning it as an infant and touching it with his finger and then turning it into a white walker.
So that's what I mean with like the hive mind thing, is there's tiers, there's levels to this. Right.
Yeah.
So we've got the Night King, who is the source of the power. He's the one who's in control. He's the one who is the main mind. You know, basically everything else is an extension of him. So he's got his walkers basically his generals that operate for him, that create troops, that keep things going and stuff. So he doesn't have to do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
But his power is, you know, they are him, if that makes sense.
So if there's someone who's more like the Lich King, like you were talking about, it's probably the Night King.
Definitely.
Himself. And he also seems to have some sort of weather abilities themselves. The walkers themselves remind me of the Frost Knights. The Frost Giants, mm-hmm. from Norse mythology, too. Because they're giant, they're powerful, they're kind of the opposite, the counter foil to the gods themselves, who tend to be kind of more on the good to chaotic good side. Mm-hmm. And then there's the frost giants, which are pretty just evil and dominating and are there to be beaten by the gods. And when Ragnarok comes, they're going to be going after all the Norse gods. So, and they have a weather ice ability in themselves too, hence why they're called frost giants.
Yeah, I definitely think that the frost, I think part of the whole winter is coming thing is I think that it's part of his power or whatever. Yeah. Just is so cold that it just drops that it sucks the heat out of whatever's around him. That's why I think, like, as he's coming down, that's the whole winter is coming thing. You know, as seasons change and it comes weather-wise, but literally, as he's gotten, as they've started to move and move further down, winter has come through Westeros. Like, it could be just a coincidence. It could be he's like, oh, the weather's nice. Let's get moving now. But I think it's because he's moving. You know, that's why it's the long night. He's the night king. He brings the night. He is the cold.
He brings the night. Yeah, I mean, he is.
He's the night king.
Yeah. He brings the night. He's the, he's that song from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's basically about Game of Thrones. He's a
night man.
Yeah, he's the night man. And he also, like, he represents the opposite of life. So that's why he is so cold, because it's death. It's right. It sucks out the life around him. But he was himself created by other figures that I think we could say are monsters, which are the Children of the Forest. And we've only met one Children of the Forest, which is Leaf. Right now, and we also go back in time and we see Leaf creating the Night King by taking a piece of dragon glass and putting it into one of the first men, the oldest one of a human from way back when, in some sort of ceremony, and that creates the Night King. And it's interesting that he's created with dragon glass, yet dragon glass is one of the only things that could hurt him or the rest of the walkers. So, what I like about that is the children of men themselves, they come from a lot of the myths of the fairy folk, the little people, mm-hmm. any of those little people myths that have been around. We don't quite know what they can do. We just know that they're mm-hmm. involved in nature and that there's not a lot of them left. Mm-hmm. They seem to be, if there's... But they're cool looking, and they're definitely monstrous looking because they're not human themselves, and they're something other than human, and something a bit more mythical. And one of the things I love about the Night King and the Walkers is that they were created by the Children of the Forest to attack the First Men, and then it just went out of hand, which is a type of story I always appreciate. It's what I always like from the alien mythology, the xenomorph mythology, is that it's a weapon that kind of went out of hand. And despite how bad Prometheus is, it's still a cool idea that I always appreciate.
Is that the twist of the movie?
Well, it's kind of what I always knew about Prometheus. It's not worth seeing.
I'm not a big Aliens fan, so I'm not.
No, it's it. They complicated it even further. But one thing
is that it's a human weapon that it was created by humans or something.
No, it was created by engineers. We don't need to get into that. Right. But one of the things I like about it is I love the idea of a weapon that's gone out of hand and a spread to be more powerful.
Love the idea of, you know, them feeling because of the way humanity is, and especially during that time, that they felt like they had to do something to protect themselves, mm-hmm. and that this is what they did. And just like you said, it got out of hand, and like, what a thing to get out of hand. Like, well, the humans are wiping us out. We have nothing else to do. Well, let's
create an unstoppable force of death. That should be fine.
That won't come back to bite us.
It'll be fine. And before we go, because we're running out of time, I do want to talk about one of the favorite monsters that we can't forget about is the Franken Mountain. And we don't quite know what the Franken Mountain can do yet, but we know what the mountain can do, and that's a lot. And now Franken Mountain was created by Qyburn, comes back from the dead, is a lot like the Frankenstein myth, but Frankenstein myth originally, Mary Shelley's, had a lot more brains than what the Franken Mountain seems to have. And also reminds me of the golem myth of a moundless piece of clay, undead figure that is brought back just to serve one person. And I'm curious to see what the Franken Mountain can do where how it will come to its end. It seems to have a direct magical link to Qyburn and thus to Cersei. And I don't know what will happen if the Franken Mountain encounters the Night King, like encounters the Whites. Will they be able to take over his body because he's technically dead? Or what will happen? I don't know. Nate, what are you thinking?
I don't know. I don't think he...
Do you think he's technically dead?
I don't know. I think Qyburn's brought him back to life. Okay. Well, that gets into the debate of what is undead. Are we talking about, like...
Because is Jon Snow undead? Because he was dead and then brought back to life.
Yeah, but also, I wouldn't put him in the same category as Qyburn's undead. I think he's the Franken monster definitely, you know, he has life. He's there. He's just not all there. You know, Jon Snow, the mystical means that he was brought back, granted, he has his whole self.
Right.
Whereas, like, with the Whites and the White Walkers and stuff, like, they're dead. It's just, it's not them. It's the corpse, just the body. It's like a puppet, almost.
Right.
And they're just being used by whatever evil magical force is controlling them. That's what makes them move. That's what makes them do what they do. So, it's a different kind of undead.
Yeah. And in the book, the Mountain, when he comes back, he doesn't even have the same head as he had in life. He actually has a dwarf's head that they used because of all the dwarf head that just pops around when they were looking for Tyrion. But he comes back with the Mountain's head, and I think for sure we're going to get a Mountain and Hound fight. I think we're going to have that Clegane.
I feel like it could go two ways. It could be, like, super action-y and, like, climactic, but I feel like it could also be, like, they go to fight and, like, turns out being a Franken-zombie makes you really slow and not good at sword fighting. Clegane just, like, cuts him in half really easily, and because part of me is like, yeah, it's really intimidating and he's really strong and he can stand there and look menacing, but what could he really do?
I bet he doesn't feel pain. I bet he's like hard to actually hurt, and because of that he's gonna be a harder fight.
Yeah, and so like because of his size, a normal person couldn't do anything to him, but like someone like the Hound could easily just like move faster than him, kick him in the knee so he falls, and then just...
But if you kick him in the knee, he might not fall because he doesn't feel the pain, and he might not be able
like,
to...
No, but not just like, ow, hurt. Like, you kick someone in the back of the knee, right. they fall. It doesn't matter. It's just that's where your knee bends.
Yeah,
that's
if he trips him, he might be able to get up.
But someone who is a regular-sized person would not be able to generate the force, no matter how hard, you know, you're kicking him, wherever you're kicking him, you're not going to get him down.
The Hound's big, but he's not as big as the Mountain.
But he's still pretty... He's close enough. They're close enough in size that his body weight would have the force.
I think it's going to be an epic fight when it does happen. And I think they're destined to fight one another, so...
I just want him to do the sword thing.
Yeah, because he's turning into kind of a warrior for the Lord of Light. So we'll see where that goes. Well, I think we're running out of time, but I just want to thank you for joining us. Nate, where can they find you?
Guys, you can find me on the internet.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all the social medias. Dog like Nate, that's dog with two G's. Tweet me. We can talk about Game of Thrones stuff. I also host a weekly gaming news culture show here on Popcorn Talk called Inventory Full. Every Monday, you can check us out. We go live at 6. We're also on Twitch.
Great. And look how much he knew about World of Warcraft. So, you know, that's a good show.
It's a dark spiral.
It's a dark spiral. You can find me. I'm on the Legends of Tomorrow podcast, where if you want to hear me talk about time-traveling superheroes, I'll be there. But you'll find me here next month, and you'll find my cohorts next week on Game of Thrones Weekly. If we missed any monsters, let us know. But thank you for joining us. Have a happy Halloween. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
What is dead may never die.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.